today has been great and powerful, and I want to keep going in this direction. And there's one of the ways we're going to get there is through holiness. Because ultimately, we want to see God. That's what we want. You know, people don't just do stuff. They do stuff for a reason. Do so with a purpose. And you ever meet somebody who just does something rote? You ever, they're not fully themselves. Right? I had a cousin, and when I was talking to him about what I was pursuing in college, and he said, you know what, that's good for you, Aaron. He says, I pushed papers my whole life. I got a paper in, I looked at it, I did whatever I had to do, and then I pushed it to the next going on. I was in trafficking for papers, he used to say. And he did his job, and you know, sometimes you just have to do a job. But there was no purpose. What did it do? I mean, I guess it fulfilled the work, but as far as a man needing some sort of goal and something greater than himself, what did it do? Not much. And a lot of congregations can get in the rut of just doing service. Forget it. I didn't move here from New York to do service. And you guys don't show up here to do service. I hope you don't, because I don't. We're here for a reason. It's to encounter the living God so that others can encounter the living God. Because I'll tell you what, if you listen to the news or watch the news, there are people are passionate about stuff that has nothing to do with the kingdom of God. And actually a lot of stuff that has to do against the kingdom of God. So if they're working hard, we got to work harder. And we have different tactics, and I don't want to sink to their level, but we got to do what's right. And the only way what's going to make the difference, not who's who knows has the better argument, it's not who's the loudest, it's not who has the most energy and rallying power, it's where's the presence of God. Do we have it or we do not? And if we do have it, we always need more. In the words of Pavarotti, after he was singing once, someone asked him, are you satisfied with the way you sing? He says, never. Have you ever heard him sing? How could you ever say that? Because he always sought to be better. He's never satisfied with what he did. I'm sure to a degree, but you're always seeking to improve. We always need to be seeking more of the presence of God. Because that's what will change us, and that's what the world needs. Okay, let's go. So why are we here? We're here to see God. We're here to encounter God. The congregation is modeled after the temple. And the temple is where the presence of God lived. Yes, we know after Yeshua died that it went out. But still, it doesn't mean the model is negligible. That there's a place where God is, and that's where people come to meet him. We gather here in a special place, or even in our chavot, a place to encounter God together. And there's this beautiful passage from 1 John 3. Which says, see how glorious the love the Father has given us, that we should be called God's children. Like I said earlier, my kids love to be with me. Even if I go out for an errand, and then I come back, Dad, you're back. I said, I was gone for 2 minutes. But it's still just that innocence of love and attraction. It's like, oh, you were gone. I said, well, I guess. But that's the passion that we need to have. He says, so we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. That's the problem that we're here to fix. Loved ones, now we are God's children, and it has not yet been revealed what we will be. But we do know that when it's revealed, we shall be like him because we will see him just as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him and Yeshua purifies himself just as he is pure. The whole point is, right, bad company corrupts good morals. Well, holy company sanctifies. And knowing the source of life, you get to know yourself. I mean, I'm not here to preach self-awareness or my existential crisis. But the point is, you find people go looking for themselves. But they need to go looking for God, and then you find out who you are in him. There is no, there's this prophecy of Jeremiah was saying, or I think Isaiah, where they're digging for cisterns that are broken, and they can contain no water. He says, come to me. I'm the fountain of living water. Don't go looking for something else. Looking, there's no water in them. And then even if there was water in them, he says they're broken, they would seep out anyway. So if we go and look at him and gaze upon him and focus on him, we'll find out who we are. And we'll purify ourselves, and then we can therefore go out and change the world so that they can know who he is. That's it. Next. So how do we see God? Good question. Special glasses? The Hubble telescope? A microscope? A philosophy course? Well, it's actually a very, good theological answer. So this is from Hebrews 12. Therefore, and this comes, I'll just read it. Strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble. And make straight paths for your feet so that what is lame will not be pulled out of joint, but rather be healed. What he's saying is, let's get to it. And let's do it strong. Faith is not weak. Let's get going. And he says to him, pursue shalom with everyone and the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and see to it that no bitter root springs up and causes trouble, and by it many may be defiled. Also see to it that there is no immoral or godless person like Esau, Jacob's brother, who sold his birthright for one meal. For you know that later, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected. He found no chance for repentance, though he begged for it with tears. We have to be holy. We can't see God without holiness. You can't just say, I've talked about this before, God loves me, and therefore everything's okay. God loves you. That's the beginning. That's not the end. We have to walk in holiness. We have to pursue holiness. The priest, if you look at the greatest example of holiness, they had very strict rules on how to maintain holiness. It wasn't just, I'm a priest, therefore I'm holy. Yes, and you have to live a life that maintains it. Because if you weren't, you couldn't be in the temple, you couldn't do your job, you couldn't intercede for your people, and you couldn't intercede for the nations. We're the same thing, we're a kingdom of priests. So we have to live a life that is holy, and we continue to be sanctified, we're knowing ultimately that God, it is he himself who sanctifies us. It's not something you do. I'm going to go live in a monastery and I'm going to be really holy. Well, it could be, maybe for a season. But ultimately, it's God who makes us holy, and we can still be holy living in D.C. You don't have to go out and live in some funky place and don't talk to anybody and read Psalms. That's not what I'm saying, it's bad, but it doesn't mean you still can be holy here. All right, let's keep going. So let's go through this piece by piece. Pursue shalom with everyone. This is big for us as a community, that we must live in peace, or as I've talked about before, wholeness. That means we have to forgive and we have to repent. It's not something where I show up and I say, oh, hi, Shabbat shalom, you look nice. I hate their guts. Do you know what they did to me? Do you know what she said? Did you see what they did on Facebook? We can't live like this. We have to be whole. Shalom isn't just, oh, hi. Nice to see you. It's real. Because who are you fooling? Me might fool them, but you ain't fooling him. And who are you going to give an account for? Yeah, I played nice when I was here. But you go before God, he said, really? Are you kidding me? Like when my daughter does something, and she's hiding it. She has that face. Did you do that? No. And I said, yes, you did. How'd you know? I know everything, I tell them. Everything. Oh, I thought I could get away with it, she said. We have to be at peace with one another. By peace, I mean we have to be serious at peace. We have to repent to each other. We have to forgive. And that doesn't mean, and there's a procedure for this too. which, by the way, I'll make a plug for you. Michael's got a book out there in its rudimentary form talking about this, the law of Messiah and the new covenant, the Torah of the Messiah. And part of that in Matthew 18 is a procedure on how to reconcile everybody. If you can't do it with one another, then you got to bring others involved. And then if that doesn't work, to bring the congregation involved. If you can't do it with by yourself, then get help. But you got to pursue. It says pursue it. Go after it. It's an active, intense form. Go find peace. Make it. Do whatever you got to do because you ain't fooling God. So you might as well take care of business because Yeshua makes it very clear. If you know your brother's got a problem with you and you're going to offer your gift to the altar, he said, put it down. You think God needs cows? Go reconcile and then go offer your gift. We won't be holy if there's the next part, roots of bitterness, unforgiveness, unrepentance. And it's, if you ever think of, if anybody ever done any gardening, you think of weeds, right? You take the weed whacker, you blow it, yeah, got it. Woo! It looked good. 2 days later after good rain, ha ha, there they are again. Why? Because I didn't pull the roots out. It doesn't matter how many times you cut them. They're not like my hair. They grow back. You have to pull the roots out. That means you got to go deep. You can't play this superficial game. And again, it's not because of just, oh, I got to make nice or the rabbi said so. It's because God knows. We have to take care of business here. Because in all the worship, it doesn't matter. If this is there's discord, roots of bitterness, unforgiveness, it doesn't matter. We won't be holy. And the author of the book says these lead to trouble and to defilement. If you think about the words holy and defilement, they're opposite. They don't go along with each other. You can't be at discord with the person sitting next to you and say, I want to be holy unto God. It doesn't work. It's like eating a cookie and saying, I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to do this. Can I have another? You got to be a single track mind. So we have to think about these things. I think it was strongly impressed upon me that if there's any issues here, and if you can't handle it alone, seek help from leadership, and let's take care of business so that we're in the right place before God. All right? Next. All right, so it talks about be careful lest anybody fall short of the grace of God. So what's the positive of that is let's attain the grace of God. I know for many Lutherans out there, this is dangerous, right? Law versus grace. Everything's grace, and so much Christian preaching is so passive to me. And I don't like it. I think it cheapens, it doesn't show the fullness of the grace of God. Yes, there are some things we have to understand about the grace of God. And that, yes, God is the giver of all good things. We read about this in Ephesians 4, 2, that the gift of salvation is something from God. No one earns it, so you can't boast. So that puts us all on an equal playing field. Whatever our education, our background, it doesn't matter. We're all on the same level. And grace also allows us intimacy with God. Sometimes people don't, they fall short of it and trying to, I'm going to be super religious. And I'm going to do all the right things. But if you're lacking the intimacy that you really need and want, you're falling short of the grace of God because that's what God wants. Yes, you should do all those good things. You should be pious. But it's the intimacy. It's the heart issues. We want to be close to him. I think about, you know, the disciple John laying his head on Yeshua's chest. Don't think that transformed him to be a good person, to be a good observer of God's commandments? Of course it did, because he literally heard the heart of Yeshua. Rituals and traditions are good, but we need the intimacy. And if we don't have it, we're falling short of the grace of God. Another part of the grace of God is it covers all sins. Some people walk around lugging past sins or shame. That's also falling short of the grace of God. Knowing that God can cover all sins. But well, here's another part that's often missing, and Dan talks about this a lot. It empowers us to do all things. The grace of God isn't just, oh, it's okay. I love you even if you're bad. And that's nice, but it's more than just that. Right? Yeshua said, he who's been forgiven much just sits there? No, he loves much. It's active. It allows us to go out and to love people and to minister the grace of God to others through healings and through prophecy and to overcome whatever we're going through. The grace of God is not some weak, nice little band-aid that God puts on us. It's the power of God to squash away all the bad stuff and fill us up with all the good stuff. So what does it mean for us as a community is that we have to help each other stay the course. And I thought it was cool what Doug was mentioning about that one Jewish soldier remembering Amalek and from Deuteronomy 25. It was great because that's what I had there too. The Lord reminded me of it. The story of Amalek is that Amalek was really an early terrorist because he didn't attack the group of people. He attacked those in the back, the weak, the stragglers. The one's kind of like, all right, let's go. Okay, I'm coming. So he was cheap. He's a cheap fighter. Fought dirty. He attacked those people. Probably older people, women, children who were lagging in the back. That's like Gaza, that, you know, and Hamas shooting rockets into homes and houses. You want to fight like a man? Go shoot, you know, fight an army. So what does it mean for us is that we have to encourage each other. If you see someone lagging spiritually, emotionally, encourage them to stay with the pack, to attain the grace of God. Because if you're lagging in the back, you're going to be easily picked off. That's why it's so important to be in community, and not just on Saturday, but also in a chavrot, and also to be in other covenantal relationships and other whenever time we can get together, because it's easy to get picked off. You start lagging. You ever work out with somebody? And like you see them pumping hard and you're like, oh, I don't want to do this, but you don't want to look bad. Right? So if you do it by yourself, like, yeah, okay, oh, look, I got a text. I'm going to text my friend. Yeah, I'll get back to that soon. Oh, yeah, what do you, then you start talking on the phone. But if your friends are like, put the phone down, let's go. It keeps you motivated when you got a buddy there with you to keep you going. Next. We also need to be pure. It talks about. And he says, let no immoral person. And often when this word is used in the New Covenant, it talks about usually sexual immorality. And this is a problem. I'm not necessarily saying it's a problem for us, but I know it's out there in the body. People struggle with us, and it could be physical, emotional, spiritual, and verbal. The word, I looked it up in the Greek, it's pornos, the word from where we get the word pornography. People get, this is a problem, especially going the phone, oh my gosh, every ad, they suck up all the margins of place, and you just see, you know, scantily clad women, and they're like, gosh, can I just look at what I want to look at? Not of being bombarded with sex. We have to guard our eyes and keep ourselves pure. Be careful what we watch. Be careful what we listen to. Even billboards, my gosh, you get stuff. I mean, it's bad. People glorify sexual immorality today. We have to be mindful of these things, including teaching our children what's right and wrong. But even as for adults, we have to keep ourselves pure and keep ourselves accountable because it starts working its way in there, and it's subtle. If you read Proverbs, especially 1 through 8, talks about it, this seductress woman. And this is go for women too. It could go with the others, but it's usually with guys. We have to keep ourselves check. We stay in the course and not being, seduced by these things. And it also talks about no profane or ungodly person, referencing in Esau. But the word is the opposite of holy, right? Profane in Hebrew, you have what's mundane or profane, and you have what's holy. So we can't have unholy people in the congregation. That doesn't mean we're going to be taking a check when you come in. Hi, can I pat you down for holiness? There's nothing like that. But if you think about what Esau did, why he's considered profane or unholy or godless, is that he squandered the grace of God. He squandered that he was born to the family of God through Jacob. And he said, oh, I got my birthright. whatever, I'm hungry. Just give me food. This isn't important. It says in Hebrew, Vaivez Esav et Bochorato. And he despised his birthright. He held it in no esteem. He took for what he took what he had for granted. What we have is greater than a bowl of lentils. Even red lentils. We have to take what we have and treat it with glory and honor and respect. And we see someone lagging in that, again, that we encourage them. Say, no, that what you have is great, and don't lose it. Don't take it for granted. Don't just wake up and say, yeah, I'm a believer, everything's good. And like, no, this is precious. And we need to treat it with such. Something special. You know what my kids do with something special? They sleep with it. I want my toy. Right? My dad got my girls some new toys. And so what do they want to do with it? They're just going to sleep with it. And then when they come downstairs, oh, I forgot my toy. I got to go get it. It's with them always. I want to take it in my bag and show my friends at school. They never want to let it go. That's how we need to be with our relationship with Yeshua and our intimacy with the Father, that it's not something we take for granted, that we pursue it and go after it and take care of it and strengthen it. Because if we don't, we may end up with a full belly, but we'll lose all that's important. And truly, when we're talking about holiness, what matters most, and this is related to what I was just saying, is that Yeshua tells us in Mark, it is what comes out of the man that makes the man unholy. What Esau did, is because his heart, he didn't care about it here. So therefore, he didn't care about it with his brother. We have to take care of this. That's why it's always important to, you've got to set up time to pray and to read the scriptures and to pray with others. Again, it's being in community. It's so much easier to stay strong. That it's a matter of your heart. If your heart's impure, you can try all you want. But what you're going to give is impure. If your heart's pure, that's what you'll give. It's easy. And he also says, in Matthew, Yeshua says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. If our hearts are pure, that's where we can see God. No matter how loud we shout or how much we sing or how many scriptures we know, if it doesn't penetrate into here, we're not open before God and open in front of the community, we won't see God. We really desire a purity, we will see him. It's easy to hide as an individual. It's easy to be picked off. It's also easier to be pure in a covenantal community, where we look after for one another. We love one another. We're accountable to one another. We build each other up. We strengthen one another. Yes, we all have a relationship with God, but it's the strongest when we're together. Next. In the beginning of the passage in Hebrews, he said, strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame will not be pulled out of joint, but rather be healed. We have to stay strong, and strength only comes through constant vigilance. Working hard. There's no substitute for hard work. Next. And there's this it's a little small, but I can read it. All right, this comes from Proverbs 4, and this is important to know. There's some really beautiful things here we see about not just being strong, but keeping a straight path. It says, the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, shining brighter and brighter until the full day. And what I see here is that our level of holiness is to grow, so that finally when we come to the day of Yeshua, we'll be as holy as we can be. And then he'll finally sanctify us to the place where we couldn't be until we saw him. But we're to keep growing in brightness and in holiness. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They don't know what makes them stumble. And there's even a commandment in the Torah that says, don't put a stumbling block before the blind. And I think likewise, if you see a stumbling block and you see a blind person walking, you're commanded to take it out. So these people walking in darkness, they don't even know what they're tripping over. And it's that's why we're shining, so that we can say, look, there's a stumbling block. And then they're going to say, what's a stumbling block? That's a stumbling block. You don't want to trip. My son, pay attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them out of your sight, keeping them within your heart. For they are a life to those who find them and health to their whole body. Guard your heart diligently, for from it flow the springs of life. Put away perversity from your mouth. Keep devious lips far from you. Let your eyes look directly ahead and fix your gaze straight in front of you. That's to Yeshua, to the kingdom that we're pursuing. Clear a level path for your feet. Get rid of all the stuff that can make you trip, so all your ways will be firm. Do not turn to the right or to the left, no matter what pulls you or draws you or seems looks good. Divert your foot from evil. Set a straight path. You know that something in your life that's stumbling you, that's not letting you attain the level of holiness that you want. Get rid of it. And if you don't know how to do it, ask for help. And if they don't know how to do it, seek somebody else for help. And if they don't know how to do it, come to the congregation and we'll help. This is a community that cares for one another and is in covenantal relationship with them for one another. And we're here to all attain holiness. But we can't attain holiness if there's stumbling blocks in front of us. That's why we're here together, to help out. Next. We need holiness. We all talk about what's holiness. Oh, it's being set apart. Again, so passive. I'm set apart from the world. Okay, good. But what do you set up? Okay, you're set apart from, but set apart to what? To God. You can't just be, I'm set apart. Great, so I put you on the side. So what? You got to go and pursue something. You've been taken out, right? God said to Pharaoh, let my people go so that they may worship me. We have to, as Yeshua said in summation of all the things, seek the kingdom first and trust that all will be added to you. So what does that mean? That means we have stuff, but we want more of the kingdom. Never should be satisfied with what I have, but we should be always be adding. We should always be pursuing the kingdom, that the kingdom comes above all things. Because at the end of the day, look, my kids are young. I know they're not involved in many of the other kids, but sports will go away. I used to play basketball. I stopped. My kid has a game. I got to make it. What if he misses? So what? I'm not discounting that. What I'm saying is that the kingdom has to be at the first and foremost of all things. Because it's the only thing that will add unto our lives. It's the only thing that will make us holier. Sports are great. I love sports. What I'm saying is, where are our priorities? That's all. That's something you have to assess. Because when we have holiness, it allows us to see in the spirit. Because when we're going out there further with outreach, we're not talking in the natural. We need to talk in the spirit. And it allows us the spirit to work through us with his gifts. As Paul writes to the Corinthians, the kingdom of God is not words, but of power. But the Holy Spirit only works in holy things. The more holy we pursue holiness, he'll work through us and do miraculous things to bring others into the kingdom, or at least to show them the power of the kingdom. They got to make up their minds themselves. And it also grants us intimacy with Yeshua, which we can never disregard. Right? We should always keep our first love first. But the only way that grows deeper is with holiness. And enables us to reach us with the good news of the kingdom. We're speaking about a holy God and an unholy world. We have to be holy to show them that there's a better way, that they're unclean, that there's cleanliness, that they're in darkness, that there's light. We have to be it. We do that by going and pursuing holiness and get rid of all these stumbling blocks. Keep ourselves clean from the world. And the only way we're going to do that is here together. We can do this. He didn't set this before us. It might be, it takes work, but we can do it. And just imagine the impact we'll have. Imagine the impact we'll have. we're in the heart, right near D.C., and there are thousands of Jewish people around here. You want to see them impacted? You want to see them come into the kingdom? You need to go out there with a message of being holy and transmitting holiness. We can do it. I know we can. We can do it together. And we're going to see the goal of reaching the Jewish community here with the gospel. We'll see it happen. We'll see godliness come back in great strength. Darkness will continue to grow darker. You can't stop it, but we can make the light brighter. Thank you. Let's pray. Father, thank you, God, for the Holy One of Israel, Yeshua, whom you sent to us. Sanctify us more, Lord, through your Holy Spirit. Let us help us get rid of all stumbling blocks and unforgiveness and unrepentance. Help us to walk hand in hand, Lord, as you prayed, Yeshua, that we would be one as you and the Father are one. Use us, God, as holy vessels to reach the Jewish people first, Lord. The promise of your Holy Spirit. And to the nations, God, who need your light. Help us sanctify even of our country that grows in darkness, Lord. May your light grow brighter. That you may receive all glory and bring many into the kingdom. They would hear the invitation and they would come. Bring your children home, Lord. In the name of Yeshua. Amen.